بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. Allah عز وجل reward you brothers and sisters for your patience. Hopefully it will be for something from benefit. For indeed we continue, ikhwan, with the durus and the sittings around the seerah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We've discussed thus far that which has taken place from prior to or from the birth of the Messenger up until the third year after the Bi'tha. You'll remember, Ikhwan, that the Prophet ﷺ, after he was sent as a messenger, in the initial years, as we mentioned, the da'wah was a da'wah that was sirriya and was a private or secret da'wah. And that he called to Allah Azza wa Jal and called those who were close to him, his relatives, friends, companions, and what have you. Thereon after, Allah Azza wa Jal made and commanded him to proclaim the da'wah, make the da'wah public. And that occurred at the end of the third year and the beginning of the fourth year after Hijrah. So from the fourth year, Ikhwan, or from the end of the third year to the fifth year, that which we will look at over the next few weeks revolves around an analysis of that period. And that is the period from the end of the third year to the fifth year. The third year to the fifth year after the Hijrah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For indeed it was that period, Ikhwan, where we had the most or one of the greatest periods of difficulty as it relates to the da'wah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions. It was a period wherein the persecution reached its height, and it was a period wherein the mushrikun of Quraysh utilized various asalib, various methods and means in turning the people away from the da'wah and in attempting to turn the new believers away from their new iman and their new faith. It is one that is jadir, that is the period, is one that is jadir and is deserving of our study, particularly us here living in the West, since our situation is most resemblant to that which took place in the Meccan period. That is not to say that we're receiving any level of persecution. Hopefully none of you are being persecuted in your homes for your deen and for your Islam and for your practice. But in the sense that they were believers, believing in the Messenger, believing in the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal, attempting to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but being surrounded by those who don't agree with that which they were upon from religion. And thus the study of the Meccan period, particularly for us living in the West, is one, or having fiqh at least of that period, is one that is beneficial, particularly for the du'at and the callers to Allah Azza wa Jal. Even though the mushrikun of Quraysh, they used various asalib and various methods and means to turn the believers away, to discourage the Messenger of Allah from spreading the message and spreading the da'wah, to turn the Arab generally, the various tribes, away from the Prophet and to turn him away from listening, we still had individuals entering into Islam, as is the case up to this very day. Even though we have, there are various attempts to demonize Islam and the Muslimun, we still have Islam being the fastest growing religion in the dunya. And at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, Ikhwan, the affair was, of course, the same. That even though the attempts of the Quraysh intensified, we still saw individuals entering into the deen. And from the descriptions, Ikhwan, that were given, that are mentioned concerning the Messenger ﷺ, as occurs in the statement of Ibn Mas'ud and others, that kana amrun Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam ظَاهِرًا لِمَنْ رَآهُ, that indeed his affair was clear to anyone who saw him. That is, if you were just to see the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, that would be sufficient in being a testimony to the fact that this is the man, this is a man that is not a liar. And as Abdullah ibn Salam and others have mentioned, when I first laid eyes on the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam and I saw his face, عَرَفْتُ أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ بِوَجْهِ الْكَذَّابِ, I knew that this was not the face of a liar. And so the affair of the Messenger ﷺ was one that, just from his composure, from his character, the way he carried himself, the way he spoke and addressed the people, they knew and they could see that this was not the face of a liar or the face of a man that seeks, desires leadership, the face of a man that desires wealth or following. And this was not the affair with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If you saw him, then you knew. From those then who entered into Islam, even though there was this great push against the deen, and from those who were never interested in the deen of the mushrikun, was the great Sahabi al-Jaleel, Abi Dharr. Abi Dharr al-Ghifari, radiallahu anhu, was from the companions who, there is something from a difference of opinion concerning when Abi Dharr embraced. Was he from the awa'il, or was he from the first and the earliest of those who embraced? Or did he embrace slightly later than some of the very early companions who entered into Islam? And that difference revolves around some of the differences that occur in the riwayat, or the versions of the story of the Islam of Abi Dharr. In some of those riwayat, we have a mention of the fact that I was Rabi'u Arba. I was the fourth of four. And this statement is something that we have looked at and we have seen and we've come across in some of the previous statements of some of the companions. I was the fourth of four, I was the seventh of seven, and so on. And the scholars discuss these statements themselves, when they are made, what is intended by them, number one, and are they absolute? And what they conclude is that those statements, that which is authentic from them, are statements that were made based upon the knowledge of that companion. Yani, to his knowledge, he was the fourth of four. Though there may have actually been, in actuality, more and other companions who had embraced Islam. The statement of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, statement here of Abi Dharr and others, that when one analyzes their statement, you'll see that even though they thought that they were the fourth of four or the seventh of seven, actually there were other believers that they were unaware of. And thus their statements are, as far as they were concerned, truths, though the reality of the situation may be slightly different to that which was perceived by the companion, radiallahu anhu. And we see that affair occurring in many of the ahkam and the rulings of the sharia. Oftentimes, we have a blanket statement made by one of the companions, but it must be understood alongside other statements which will clearly indicate that the companion spoke based upon his knowledge. And the statement of Aisha radiallahu anha, for example, that whosoever says the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam urinated standing, then verily he is lied. While Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he established that he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam urinating standing. Ahl al-ilm, when they gather between those narrations, they say that she spoke based upon what she saw. What she saw in the home when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was at home, which indicates that that was his regular practice, that he would sit. Though Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu observed him doing so standing. And so the statements then are understood when brought together. And when we bring them together, we understand clearly that this, or these statements were made based upon what they understood, and the statements of those other companions. It is not to say that they were wrong, or that they lied, or that they were being deceptive. Of course not. That they spoke based upon their knowledge. This one spoke upon based upon what he knew, and that one spoke based upon what he or she knew. Now, and so from the narrations that relate to the great Sahabi al-Jalil Abi Dharr Jundub ibn Junada radiallahu anhu, was that he mentioned, he himself describes, there are some short versions of his Islam, and then there are some longer versions. And we'll mention one of the longer versions because of that which is present within the longer versions of his Islam and the story of his Islam from benefit. From them is the riwayah that occurs in the Muslim, the Sahih of Imam Muslim, rahimahullah ta'ala, when Abi Dharr, he mentions, خرجنا من قومنا غفار أنا وأخي أنيس وأمنا. He mentioned that indeed we left out from our people the Ghifari tribe. And the Ghifari tribe was a tribe that lived in the Badia. They lived out in the desert. They were known to be, the bulk of them, people who lived in the Bawadi, out in the open. And so we left, he mentioned, me, my brother Unais, and my mother. Me, my brother Unais, and my mother. He said that Unais said that verily I have a need in Makkah. And so Unais, his brother, he decided to go to Makkah because of a need that he had, possibly tijara or trade or what have you. He said, so therefore, you take charge until I return. He said, فَانْطَلَقَ فَرَاثَ عَلَيَّ ثُمَّ أَتَانِي فَقُلْتُ مَا حَسَبَكَ قَالَ لَقِيتُ رَجُلًا يَزْعُمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَرْسَلَهُ عَلَى دِينِكَ يَرْحُمُكَ اللَّهُ. He said, after discussing, after him going and returning, he said that when Abi Dharr inquired concerning his affair or the trip, he said that verily I've come across a man who claims that he's upon your deen. Since Abi Dharr was from among those who used to refuse to worship the idols, and who used to say that he was upon the deen of Ibrahim, that he refused to worship the idols and to commit shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Though he was not a Muslim in that sense. Though there are some narrations wherein he himself said that by Allah I made salah for 3 years before I knew of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah azza wa jal wafaqahu. That he made salah, but it wasn't salah as the full salah, but he made sajda and what have you, praying to Allah azza wa jal. He said for 3 years I would pray at Isha time. For 3 years, and then I would lie down and I would sleep until the sun woke me up. For 3 years, he said, before I came across the Messenger of Allah. So just by way of his fitrah, he was a man, an individual that remained upon the fitrah. He said, that is his brother Unais, when he returned from Mecca, he said, I met a man that claims that he's upon your religion. this deen that you've been practicing yourself, I've met a man that claims that he's upon your religion. فَقُلْتُ, so he said, مَاذَا يَقُولُ النَّاسُ لَهُ. So what did the people say to him or concerning him? He said, يَقُولُونَ إِنَّهُ شَاعِرٌ وَسَاحِرٌ وَكَاهِنٌ وَكَانَ أُنَيْسَ شَاعِرًا. He said, they say that he is a poet, a magician, and a soothsayer. But Unais himself was a shair. He was a poet. Unais was a poet, his brother. فقال أنيس قد سمعت قول الكهان فما يقول بقولهم وقد وضعت قوله على أقراء الشعر فوالله ما يلتئن لسان أحد أنه شعر. He said that indeed I have heard the statements of soothsayers, and he does not make their statements. Similarly, I have evaluated his statements in line with iqra' al-shi'r, that is the abiyat, or the forms that poetry, Arabic poetry, ordinarily falls upon. He said, and I've analyzed his statements in light of that, those syllable forms. And he said, by Allah, none of the tongues of the poets are in accordance with that which he says. He said, وَوَاللَّهِ إِنَّهُ لَصَادِقٌ وَإِنَّهُ لَكَاذِبُونَ. He said, and by Allah, he is truthful, and they are liars. And he is the one that speaks the truth, and they are the ones that lie. فَقَالَ أَبُو ذَرْ هَلْ أَنْتَ كَافِيَ حَتَّى أَنْطَلِقُ فَأَنْظُرْ. He said, then will you then suffice in looking after the family and business or whatever, until I go and look and see for myself? So he said, نعم. He said, فَكُنْ مِنْ أَهْلِ مَكَّةَ عَلَى هَذَرْ فَإِنَّهُمْ قَدْ شَنِفُوا لَهُ وَتَجَهَّمُوا لَهُ. He said, therefore, you should be upon Hadar. You should be careful and cautious with the people of Makkah, because indeed they hate him, and they have threatened him with harm. He said, فَقَالَ أَبُو ذَرْ فَانْطَلَقْتُ حَتَّى قَدِمْتُ مَكَّةِ فَتَبَعَفْتُ رَجُلًا مِّنْهُمْ. He said, so I proceeded until I came to Mecca, and I came across, or I looked for, the weakest man among them. And that was a practice for an individual who wanted to seek information but didn't want to be exposed. Generally, if you come across somebody who is, yani, is da'if, is weak, miskeen, possibly a beggar, or someone that nobody has any concern for, any care for, yani, that's the man that you ask. What's going on with such and such? Where is such and such? Tell me where to look for such and such. Since no one cares for him, no one is concerned with his statements, no one is bothered with the man, and he is glad that someone is showing him some interest. So he says, so I look for the weakest one among them. Yeah, and it's someone who was weak, ضعيف, miskeen, in order to ask him. He says, فَقُلْتُ أَيْنَ الرَّجُلُ الَّذِي تَدْعُونَهُ الصَّابِعِ. He said, so I said to him, where is the man that you claim is Sabi'i? And this term, Sabi'i, as we mentioned previously, it is a statement that, while it ordinarily refers to someone who clings to the deen of Ibrahim, it is and was used to have a bad connotation. And so it was used almost similar to the way that we would say the one that is a traitor. But here, meaning a religious traitor. And so, though it was used to refer to the deen of Ibrahim, it was used in a derogatory manner. And so he said, where is the one that you say has become Sabi'i? Yani, where's Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And so he said, فَأَشَارَ إِلَيَّ وَقَالَ صَابِئِيٌ. He says, so when I said that to him, he pointed at me and he said, Sabi'i. يعني to Quraysh. فمال أهل الوادي علي بكل مضرة وعظم حتى خررت مغشيا علي. He said, and so the people of the Wadi, يعني أهل Quraysh, أهل مكة, they all pounced upon me, all of them with مضر. A مضر is a rock that fills the palm, a palm-sized rock. He said, they pounced upon me with palm-sized rocks, and they began to beat me until I fell unconscious. He said, فَارْتَفَعْتُ حَتَّى ارْتَفَعْتُ وَكَأَنِّي نُصُوبٌ أَحْمَرٌ. He said, and so I rose when I rose, anyway, I came to from my consciousness, and it was as though I was a blood-stained idol. And the نُصُوب الأحمر were those idols which were slaughtered for by the mushrikun, and they were bloodstained because of the amount of slaughtering that took place for them. When you slaughter the blood, yeah, it spurts. And so the Nusub al-Ahmar is the idol that has been slaughtered for so much that it is covered in blood, stained with blood. He said, so when I came to and I came around, it was as though I was a Nusub al-Ahmar. It was a red idol, a blood-stained idol. He said, فَأَتَيْتُ زَمْزَمْ فَشَرِبْتُ مِنْ مَائِهَا وَغَسَلْتُ عَنِّي الدَّمْ. He said, so I went over to the Zamzam and I drank from it and I washed the blood from myself. وَلَقَدْ لَبِثْتُ ثَلَاثِينَ بَيْنَ يَوْمٍ وَلَيْلَةٍ وَمَا كَانَ لِي طَعَامٌ إِلَّا مَاءُ زَمْزَمْ سَفَمِنْتُ حَتَّى تَكَسَّرْتُ عُرُكَانُ بَطْنِي وَمَا وَجَدْتُ عَلَى كَبِدِي شَخْفَةَ جُوعٍ. He mentions, so I drank from the Zamzam and I washed myself, or washed the blood from myself with it. He said, and I remained in that state for 30 days, or remained there for 30 days. Some of the narrations mention that he hid behind the Kaaba and the Kiswa. He hid behind the cloth that covers the Kaaba and the Kaaba itself. So he would hide there for 30 days. Yani, just remaining obscure and avoiding them. And that is an indication of the fact that there was, of course, sufficient space for someone, yani, to enter underneath it and not be seen. Therefore, it wasn't kissing the walls of the Kaaba as it is today. Naturally, if it was, then you would see his shape. So he remained there, he hid there for a period of 30 days. Na'am, he said, قَالَ فَبَيْنَا أَهْلُ مَكَّةِ فِي لَيْلَةٍ قَمْرَاءَ إِذْ Idhiyan. He said, so when the on a night when the people of Mecca were on a moon illuminated night, and it was the middle of the night, is a reference here, or the statement is a reference to the middle of the night when everyone was asleep. اِضْضَرَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ أَضْمِخَةِ أَهْلِ مَكَّةِ فَمَا يَطُوفُ بِالْبَيْتِ غَيْرُ امْرَأَتَيْنِ. He said, so Allah Azza wa Jal had caused the people of Mecca yani, to fall asleep. And he mentioned, and no one was making tawaf around the house, yani around the Kaaba, other than two women. He said, فَأَتَتَا عَلَيَّ وَهُمَا تَدْعُوَانِ إِسَافًا وَنَائِلًا. He said, so they came towards me, and they were making dua to Isaf and Naila. Isaf and Naila were two idols that were in the vicinity of the Kaaba. And it is said that they were two individuals who had relations in front of the Kaaba. And as a punishment, they were made into idols, or they turned into idols as a punishment. This is what is said, what the mushrikun of the Arab, they used to believe. He said, فَقُلْتُ, and so I said, أَنْكِهُ أَحَدُهُمَ الْآخَرِ فَمَا ثَنَاهُمَا ذَلِكَ. He said, so I said, they had relations one with another, and that's still didn't turn the two of them away from them. That is, these two were making dua to them, even though they were two individuals who came and had relations in front of the Kaaba. They carried out this act in front of the Kaaba, yet still, it wasn't sufficient in turning these two away from them. He mentions, فَأَتَتَ عَلَيَّ فَقُلْتُ وَهُنَّ مِثْلُ خَشَبَ غَيْرَ أَنِّي لَا أَكْنِي. He said, and a male organ from wood. Or like unto a male organ from wood. And I am being sariya, I am being clear. La akni, yani I'm not using metaphors. And here we have an idol, two idols having relations, and we have that which resembles a male organ from wood. And you're worshipping that. So they said, فانطلقت تولولان وتقولان لو كان ها هنا احد من انفارنا. He said, so the two of them came over to me, and they said, if only someone from our people were here. And he making a statement, if only somebody from our people were here. قال فاستقبلهما Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa Abu Bakr. He said, and so when they made that statement, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr appeared and came over towards them. Wa huma habitani min al-jabal faqala ma lakuma. And so they were holding onto the jabal, or coming down from the mount. And they said, that is Abu Bakr and Umar said to them, what is wrong with you? قَالَتَا الصَّابِئِ بَيْنَ الْكَعْبَ وَأَسْتَارِهَا. This sabi'i, between the Kaaba and its kiswa, and its covering. قَالَ مَا قَالَ لَكُمَا. What is it that he has said to the two of you? قَالَتَا قَالَ لَنَا كَلِمَا تَمْلَأُ الْفَمْ. He said that he made a statement that filled the mouth. And this statement, or this ibarah, fills them out, means is a statement that we're unable to re-utter. Yani a blasphemy against the idols. He's made a statement that fills them out. قال أبو ذر فجاء رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هو وصاحبه حتى استلم الحجر فطاف بالبيت ثم صلى فلما قضى صلاته أتيته فكنت أول من حياه بتحية الإسلام فقلت السلام عليك يا رسول الله. He said that indeed the two of them, they made tawaf when they went over to the Hajar, they touched the stone, and then they made tawaf, and then they made salah, and when they finished their salah, I went over to them, and I was the first one ever to greet him with the greetings of Islam, and I said, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Wa alayka as-salam wa rahmatullah. And then he said, Thumma qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Mimman ant? And so then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, From who are you, or which people are you from? Qultu min ghifar. And so I said, From ghifar. Qala fa'ahwa biyadihi fawada'aha ala jabhatihi. قلت في نفسي كره أني انتميت إلى غفار ثم قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم متى كنت ها هنا. He said, and so the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he took his hand and he put it on his forehead. And so the Prophet, so Abu Dharr, he said, I said to myself, he doesn't like the fact that I'm from Ghifar. And so the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, and how long have you been here? And so he said, كنت ها هنا منذ 30 بين ليلة ويوم. He said, I have been here for 30 days, between 30 days and nights. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, فمن كان يطعمك? So who used to feed you? Who is it that feeds you? قلت ما كان لي طعام إلا ماء زمزم. He said, I had no food other than زمزم. فسمنت حتى كسرت أكنبطني. He said, and so I put on weight to the extent that my stomach protruded. It's now protruding, and from Zamzam. He said, and I never ever felt the pangs of hunger. I haven't since I've been drinking it. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنها مبارك إنها طعام طعم. He said that indeed it is blessed. It is a food for the one who consumes it. فقال أبو بكر يا رسول الله إذن لي في طعامه الليلة. فقال ففعل. He said, so Abu Bakr, he said, O Messenger of Allah, give me permission to feed him tonight. And so he did so. He said, فانطلق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأبو بكر انطلقت معهما. And so the Messenger and Abu Bakr, they left, and I left with them. And to the extent that Abu Bakr, he opened his door, and he gave me initially, when I entered, he gave me some raisins from Taif. Some raisins, and a bowl of raisins from Taif. And Abu Dharr, he said, فَكَانَ ذَلِكَ أَوَّلَ طَعَامٍ أَكَنْتُهُ بِهَا. And that was the first food that I ate in Mecca. That was the first thing I ate in Mecca. فَلَبِثْتُ مَا لَبِثْتُ ثُمَّ أَتَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَقَالَ إِنِّي قَدْ وجهت إلى أرض ذات نخل ولا أحسبها إلا يثرب فهل أنت مبلغ عني قومك لعل الله أن ينفعهم بك ويأجرك فيهم. He said that verily I am soon to move to a land that has date palm trees surrounding it, and I do not see except that it must be Yathrib, and it must be Medina. He said, so will you then convey my affair to your people, that perhaps you will receive, that perhaps they will benefit from it, and that you will be rewarded by way of that? فقال أبو ذر انطلقت حتى أتيت أخي أنيس فقال لي ما صنعت قلت صنعت أني أسلمت وصدقت. He said, so I returned and I went back to my brother Unais, and he said, what happened? He said that indeed I have embraced. What happened with you? He said, I embraced and I have believed in him. In some of the versions it mentions, when the Prophet ﷺ said that statement, he said that I shall proclaim and I shall shout your name and proclaim your da'wah with the highest voice when I return back to my people. And he did so, رضي الله عنه وأرضاه. So Unais, he said, فَمَا بِرَغْبَةٌ عَنْ دِينِكَ فَإِنِّي قَدْ أَسْلَمْتُ وَصَدَّقْتُ ثُمَّ أَتَيْنَا أُمَّنَا فَقَالَتْ مَا بِرَغْبَةٌ عَنْ دِينِكُمَا فَإِنِّي أَسْلَمْتُ وَصَدَّقْتُ. He said, so Unais, he said, or Unais, my brother, he said, that I don't turn away from your religion. I'm upon your religion. I too have embraced and I believe. And so we went to our mother and she said, I am not turning away from the religion of the two of you. I too embrace and I believe. And so he mentioned, فَاحْتَمَلْنَا حَتَّى أَتَيْنَا قَوْمًا غِفَارًا فَأَسْلَمَ نِصْفُهُمْ وَكَانَ يَأُمُّهُمْ إِيمَاءُ إِبْنِ رَخَسَ الْغِفَارِ وَكَانَ سَيِّدُهُمْ. He said, so I went to my people, and the people of Ghifar, and half of them embraced. And they were led in Salah by Ima ibn Rakhsa al-Ghifari, and he was one of the leaders of the people of Ghifar, or the Ghifari tribe. He said, ثُمَّ قَدِمْتُ قَبِيلَةُ غَفَارٍ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَوْ قَدِمَتْ قَبِيلَةُ غَفَارٍ على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو في المدينة بعد أن ذهبت غزوة بدر وأخد وسادف قدومهم قدوم قبيلة أسلم فلما أعلنوا إسلامهم عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم غفار غفر الله لها وأسلم سالمها الله. But he said that, so when he came then, when it came to a period after the Battle of Badr and the Battle of Uhud, and the tribe of Ghifar came to the Prophet ﷺ, and the tribe of Aslam, Bani Aslam, went to the Messenger ﷺ and he gave them da'wah, the two of them embraced. The two of them entered Islam, and the Prophet ﷺ made the dua, Ghifarun ghafarallahu lahum, aw laha. The tribe of Ghifar, may Allah Azza wa Jal, ghafara laha. May Allah forgive them. And Aslam, salamaha Allah. And Bani Aslam, the tribe of Aslam, may Allah preserve them and protect them. And so the two tribes, the tribe of Ghifar and the tribe of Banu Aslam, who were neighboring tribes and they were close tribes, Banu Ghifar and Banu Aslam, they were very close in terms of their proximity where they lived, and that they had pacts between them. And they would do business together, and they were very close. So both tribes embraced at the hands of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Similarly, ikhwan, from those who embraced Islam, since Abi Dharr, of course, his Islam, what is apparent, ikhwan, is that his Islam was early. That is what is most apparent, and that is one of the most, or the most correct position, the most correct statement from the statements of the people of knowledge, that his Islam was early. Similarly, we have the Islam, ayyuhal ikhwa, of Damad ibn Sa'labat al-Azdi. Damad ibn Sa'labat al-Azdi was another one of the companions who, though he wasn't like Abi Dharr in that he was seeking Islam, but he received Islam when he heard the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is, as occurs in the hadith of Sahih Muslim, the hadith of Ibn Abbas, and likewise the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah and others, that he mentioned that Damad, he came to Mecca, and he was a tribe from the people of Shanu'a. He said, فَسَمِعَ سُفَهَاءٌ مِّن سُفَهِ مَكَّةَ يَقُولُونَ إِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا مَجْنُونَ. He said that he came to Mecca on an occasion, and he, incidentally, was an individual that was known for ruqya. That Damad ibn Sa'laba was one that used to perform ruqya. Since that you had individuals, even before the coming of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who used to perform ruqya, that they had a method of performing ruqya and removing jinn and curing people who were affected by the jinn. And there was a family that used to, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that used to perform ruqya, and they had a method of performing ruqya, and so they asked the Prophet ﷺ concerning the ruqya that they used to perform. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he said, أَعْرِضُ عَلَيَّ رُقَاكُمْ, that, let me hear the ruqya that you used to perform. So he said, and then he said, لَا بَأْسَ بِالرُقْيَا مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ شِرْكَا, that there is no problem with performing ruqya as long as there isn't any shirk in it. Which indicates then that it is not essential, or is not wajib for the ruqya to only be performed with the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. It is possible that a person may perform ruqya by way of that which is known from khibra to be beneficial. It may be that a person may give, as Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, he mentions, may give admonition. That may be sufficient. That he mentions that the jinn are removed by way of one of four main methods. Either they are removed by way of that which is related to qira'ah, that is the recitation of the Qur'an. He said with some they are removed with the adhan. And with some they leave with the adhan, and with some they leave with strong admonition. Thirdly, and he said, and then with others, they do not leave except with dharb. They do not leave except with dharb. And so with that being the case, we therefore understand that from the methods of the removal of the jinn are those methods that do not necessarily return back to recitation of the Qur'an. Dhamad ibn Tha'alaba then was from those who used to remove the jinn by way of ruqya that they would perform that they knew to be beneficial. And so when he heard the foolish ones among Quraysh saying that the Prophet or that Muhammad was majnoon, that he was affected by a jinn and that he is deranged, he said, فَقُلْتُ أَيْنَ هَذَا الرَّجُلِ. So I said, where is this man? لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ أَنْ يَشْفِيَهُ عَلَى يَدَيَّ. Perhaps Allah Azza wa Jalla will cure him at my hands. And since they're saying he's affected by a jinn, then inshallah I'll try and help him. So he went over to the Messenger of Allah, he met the Prophet ﷺ, and he said, Ya Muhammad, inni arqi min hadha riyah, wa inna Allah yashfi ala yadayya man sha'a, fahalumma. He said that, O Muhammad, indeed I am one that performs ruqya, and Allah Azza wa Jal cures individuals at my hands whomsoever he pleases. And in that he's had a success rate. So do you not see that I should cure you? So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Dhamad he made that statement, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Innal hamdalillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh, wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. May yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah, wa may yudlil fala hadiya lah, wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluh." So Dhamad, he said, O Muhammad, by Allah, لقد سمعت الكهنة وقول السحرة وقول الشعراء فما سمعت مثل هذه الكلمات أو هؤلاء الكلمات. He said, O Muhammad, indeed I've heard the words of soothsayers and I have heard the words of magicians and I am familiar with the statements of poets, but never have I heard the likes of that which you just recited to me. Repeat it to me. And the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned the Khutbatul Haja on three separate occasions, and he mentioned it three times altogether. And so then Dhamad ibn Tha'alaba, he said, "Halumma yadaka ubayi'uka 'ala al-Islam." He said, "Give me your hand and let me pledge allegiance to you upon Islam." And so bay'ahu Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, faqala lahu wa 'ala qawmik. He said that, so Dhamad ibn Tha'alaba, he embraced, and then the Prophet ﷺ said to him, "And on behalf of your people?" He said, "On behalf of my people." Since Dhamad ibn Tha'alaba, he was from the leaders of his tribe, he said, "On behalf of my people." He said, "فبعث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جيشا فمروا بقوم ضماد فقال صاحب الجيش للسرية هل أصبتم من هؤلاء القوم شيئا؟ فقال رجل منهم أصبت منهم ظهرة. فقال ردها عليهم فإنهم قوم ضماد." Said, so on an occasion, the Prophet ﷺ, he sent a riding party out on a military expedition, and the leader of that riding party, he said to the army, "Has any of you received or taken anything from these people?" And so one of them said that, "I have a mazhara, which is a camel. I have a camel from them. And so he said, "Return it to them." For verily, this is the people of Bamat. This is the people, or these are the people of Bamat. And so we see then, Ikhwan, the point that we're making with mentioning some of those stories, and there are others, of course, from among the companions who embrace, and their stories that have occurred in a number of hadith. The point that we're making, Ikhwan, is that even though the mushrikun of Quraysh were punishing the companions, and even though they were dealing with the Messenger of Allah with ill and with evil, and they were harming the believers, that did not stop the people from entering into Islam and being attracted and affected by the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so with that being the case, when the tribe of Quraysh and the mushrikun of Quraysh, they saw that their persecution wasn't affecting the da'wah and the call of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they saw that their sukhriya and their ridicule of the believers was not affecting the da'wah, then they attempted other asalim and other methods in turning the people away from the da'wah that was taking place in Mecca at that time. From those asalim is that they attempted first and foremost to affect the one that was guarding and that was protecting the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Talib, the uncle of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It occurs, Ikhwan, in a narration that was collected by Imam al-Bukhari in his tariq, with his chain of narration going back to Uqayl ibn Abi Talib, who said, Ja'at Quraysh ila Abi Talib. He said, that is Uqayl ibn Abi Talib, he said that Quraysh, they came to Abu Talib. فَقَالُوا إِنَّ إِبْنَ أَخِيكَ هَذَا قَدْ آذَانَا فِي نَادِينَا فَانْهَهُ عَنَّا فَقَالَ يَا عُقَيْلِ أَأْتِنِي بِمُحَمَّدٍ فَانْطَلَقَ إِلَيْهِ فَاسْتَخْرَجَهُ مِنْ كِبْسٍ مِنْ بَيْتٍ صَغِيرٍ فَجَاءَ بِهِ فِي الظَّهِيرَ فِي شِدَّةِ الْحَرِّ فَجَاءَ لَا يَطْلُبْ الفيء يمشي به فيه من شدة الحر الرمضاء فلما أتاهم قال أبو طالب إن بني عمك هؤلاء زعموا أنك تؤذيهم في ناديهم ومسجدهم فانتهي عن أذاهم. He said that here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the tribe of Quraysh first and foremost, they came to Abu Talib and they said, Ibn Akhik, yani your nephew, that verily he harms us in our nadi, and in our place of sitting. And so prevent him from doing so. And so Abu Talib, he said to his son Uqayl, bring Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so he brought Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He went for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He found him and he brought him, and it was in the hot part of the day, and in shiddat har, aqil. And so he said, فَجَاءَ لَيَطْلُبْ الْفَيْءِ نَعْمْ فَلَمَّا أَتَاهُمْ قَالَ أَبُو طَالِبْ إِنَّ بَنِي عَمِّكَ هَؤُلَا زَعَمُوا أَنَّكَ تُؤْذِيهِمْ فِي نَادِيهِمْ وَمَسْجِدِهِمْ. So Abu Talib said to him, verily your uncle's people, yani these people of yours, of your uncle, yani their relatives, yani the tribe of Quraysh, they claim that you're harming them in their place of gathering and in their masjid. So stop harming them. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he raised his eyes to the sky. And then he said, Tarona hadhihi shams. He said, do you see this sun? Faqala ma ana bi aqdar ala an arudda وَأَنْ أَدَعَ ذَلِكَ مِنْكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تَشْعَلُوا مِنْهَا شَعْلًا. He said, do you see that sun? He said, I am less able to stop this da'wah than you are able to grab one of the rays that come from it. So Abu Talib, he said, وَاللَّهِ مَا كَذَبْنَا إِبْنِ أَخِي قَتْ فَرْجِعُوا. He said that verily we have never denied and have never disbelieved the statement of my nephew, so it is better that you return. that is, he addressed the tribe of Quraysh. I've never denied or rejected what he says. And so it is better that you return. That is, if he said it, then know that it is true. Know that it is something he's not able to do. So it is better that you return. And so on more than one occasion, they approached Abu Talib with an attempt to affect Abu Talib, since the Prophet ﷺ was protected by way of him. That Abu Talib, because of the fact that he was from the sons of Abdul Muttalib, and he was from those who were notables among the tribe of Quraysh, it was not possible for them to harm the Prophet ﷺ, except that Abu Talib would intercede and would prevent their harm. And because of the respect that they had for Abu Talib as an elder and as a notable from the tribe of Quraysh, they were unable to affect the Prophet ﷺ due to that. Even though they still attempted to harm the Messenger ﷺ, even though that was the case. And even though it was a fact that Abu Talib was a notable among them and respected among them, they still attempted to harm him. And that, without doubt, is another one of the methods that they used against the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is that they attempted or muhawalati qatlihi, that they attempted to kill him. But the plan that they had to kill him was that we would all come together, as occurs an authentic narration that was collected by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari and others, that on one occasion Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt, he came to the Messenger ﷺ while he was praying, and he attempted to strangle him with his rida, with his cloak. And that was one attempt. And so Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he came and repelled him. And then he said, أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا أَنْ يَقُولَ رَبِّي اللَّهِ. Will you kill a man because of the fact that he says, my Lord is Allah? But then they had another plan. And that occurs in the hadith of Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, and it was collected by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, wherein Ibn Abbas, he mentioned that a gathering from among Quraysh, they came together in the Hijr, which is the Hijr is the round, that semicircle wall outside, or yani in front of the Kaaba, and inside the semicircle wall, it is considered the Hijr. In fact, the whole of the interior of the Kaaba is considered the Hijr of the Kaaba. And so he said that they gathered on an occasion in the Hijr, yani from the notables of Quraysh, and they had taken a pact by way of with Lat and Uzza and Manat, any of the idols that they used to worship, that if we see Muhammad, that we should rise to him قيام رجل واحد, that we should rise to him with the rising of one man, yani all at once, that we should approach him and that we should rise to him all at once, and that we should not leave him until we kill him. فأقبلت فاطمة تبكي حتى دخلت على أبيها. So Fatima radiallahu anha, when she heard their statement, she began to cry. And she entered upon her father, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she said that verily, when she entered upon him, she said, هؤلاء الملأ من قومك في الحجر قد تعاهدوا أن لو قد رأوك قاموا إليك فقتلوك. That these individuals from Quraysh, they have all just taken an agreement and a pact and swore by Lat and Uzza and Manat that when they see you, that they shall all rise to you and kill you. And so the Prophet ﷺ, when she continued, فَلَيْسَ مِنْهُمْ رَجُلٌ إِلَّا وَقَدْ عَرَفَ نَسِيبَهُ مِنْ دَمِكَ, he said that there is not one of them except that they all have already agreed on which part of your blood they shall be responsible for. And they've all agreed, I'm going to take this responsibility, I'm going to take that level of responsibility and what have you. There is not a man from them except that he's agreed and he is clear on what portion of your blood they are going to take. And so the Prophet ﷺ, when she made that statement, he said, Ya Bunayya, Udnu Wadu'i. He said, oh my daughter, bring me water for wudu. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he made wudu and then he entered upon them in the masjid. فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ قَالُوا هَذَا هُوَ. So when they saw him, they said, here he is. فَخَفَضُوا أَبْصَارَهُمْ. And so they lowered their gaze. وَعَقَرُوا فِي مَجَالِسِهِمْ. And they were unable to move from their sitting places. فَلَمْ يَرْفَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ أَبْصَارَهُمْ. And they did not even raise their vision or raise their eyes. وَلَمْ يَقُمْ مِنْهُمْ رَجُلٌ. And not one of them stood. فَأَقْبَلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ حَتَّى قَامَ عَلَى رُؤُوسِهِمْ. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he walked in to their midst until he stood over all of them. And then he took a handful of dust and he sprinkled it and threw it over all of their heads. And thereafter, the Prophet ﷺ, as occurs in the narration, Ibn Abbas, he mentions, فَمَا أَصَابَتْ رَجُلًا مِّنْهُمْ حَصَارٍ إِلَّا وَقَدْ قُتِلَ يَوْمَ بَدْرٍ كَافِرًا. He said, when the Prophet ﷺ, he took that dust and he threw it over them, all of them. He supplicated against them. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said that indeed there was not one of them that was present on that day except that he died as a kafir among those who died in the battle of Badr. Except that he died as a kafir among those who died in the battle of Badr. And so we see then, ikhwan, that from the asalib and from the methods that they utilized was that they attempted to kill the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that was just one usloob from the asalib. And indeed, verily, the methods of attempting to turn the people away from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam increased and intensified in that which followed from the years. From them were those who made statements. From them were those who attempted to disprove the Prophet ﷺ and disprove the fact that his statement should even be listened to. From them were those who used various types of disrespect and dishonoring the Messenger ﷺ and speaking of him in a particular way. Like Umayyah ibn Khalf. Umayyah ibn Khalaf, whenever he would see the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would make the lams and the ghams. The lams and the ghams that Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in Surah Al-Hamaza, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Allah Azza wa Jal speaks of those who are the humazatil lumaza. The humaza, lumaza, and is a reference to two types of forms of sukhriya. That is, two types of forms of ridicule and mockery. And that is, Umayyah ibn Khalaf, whenever he used to see the Messenger of Allah, he would either make the hams and the hamas, is that he would dispraise him publicly, curse him in a loud voice, speak ill of him. The lams is that he would backbite him and ridicule him, but without speech. And it is ordinarily done with the eyes. So whenever he would come, as soon as the Prophet ﷺ would turn his back, he would make the lams. But Allah Azza wa Jal revealed, وَيْلٌ لَهُمْ. Yani, woe to them. Everyone or every humazat lumaza. And that, as the scholars of tafsir have mentioned, was a reference to Umayyah ibn Khalaf, or a direct reference to Umayyah ibn Khalaf. And that, without doubt, ikhwan, is just some of the asalib that were used against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the affair of ridicule, the attempt to mock or to use mockery, the usage of an attempt to harm the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the believers. All of these were asalib and were methods that were used, ikhwan, but those methods intensified and became a little more tricky and intricate in that which is to come. Since the tribe of Quraysh, they used a new method of turning the people, or attempting to turn the people away from the Prophet ﷺ. The ta'zeeb and the punishment and the persecution didn't work. The sukhriya didn't work. The ridicule didn't work. The attempt to kill him didn't work. The attempt to approach Abu Talib didn't work. And so we will see, inshaAllah, how the tribe of Quraysh advanced their methods of trying to turn the people away from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I'm certain, for the callers to Allah Azza wa Jal, they will be in that which is to come a number of benefits. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.